Father, thank you so much that we have your word in our own language. We thank you for men like John Huss and Tisdale and Wycliffe and men like that that paid such a dear price to get it translated into English such that we can really hear your word and understand it. And Father, the reason we want to get your word into our life is so that we will always know what you have said about so many areas and be able to be obedient to it. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll lead us during this time, that by the time we leave this room, that you will have given us real convictions and that we'll have the know-how. And, Father, we'll discipline ourselves to get your word into our lives, that you might use it in our life anytime you want to and in the life of anyone to whom you want us to minister. So, Lord, we look to you today and trust you to lead us because we prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you know, God has given us his word. And there are many people in the world today that give anything in the world if they just had the Word of God in their own language. And so we're going to talk about today how you can memorize Scripture, how you select the verses. Thank you. And I'm going to show you a way that I think you can do it. It won't cause you to flunk out of school. And it'll be a way that you can do this. Get your mic right back there. Yeah, he has a mic for you.
I'll just sit back here.
And when you come up. So I wanted to share with you today and answer any questions you have. I think most of you heard what I had to say last night about Scripture memory and the tremendous value of that. I wouldn't take anything in the world for the verses that I've been able to memorize. And I don't have a good memory. I want to say that to start with. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, I just don't have a good memory. Well, your problem is not that you don't have a good memory. I mean, you know where you live, right? You know your own phone number. You remember your name. Remember your birthday? You know, you remember things you want to remember. Usually, you do not remember something that's not important to you unless you have to. I remember when I was in seminary, one day I was getting my hair cut. And I was talking to this barber, and he said, you know, I cut the hair of many of the professors here at this seminary, and I have through the years. And they come here, get their hair cut. But he said, you know what I look forward to? And that's when my nephew comes in. He said, now these professors, they'll talk about many things. But he said, my little nephew memorizes verses. And he'd been influenced by the Navigators. And he said, every time he comes in to get his hair cut, he shares with me, he says, Uncle Denny, let me share with you the verse that I've been memorizing. And he said, it's a blessing every time he comes to get his hair cut. And he said, my nephew is more a blessing to me than all these professors at the seminary. And then he said something very significant. I went back to my room and wrote it down because I never wanted to forget it. He said, unless you have to memorize something, you don't memorize it unless it means something to you. And that's right. Now, sometime in school, you have to memorize certain things for tests. But you don't usually memorize things that you don't have to memorize unless they really mean something to you. And I think that's a poor indication of just how little the Word of God means to us that we're not willing to really memorize it and get it in our hearts. Now, the reason we memorize, as I've said before, is I want to know what God thinks. I want to be able to think His thoughts after Him. I want to know what God says, and I want to get His Word into my heart so that any time the Holy Spirit ever wants to bring it to my memory to use in my life, or He wants to bring it to my mind so that I can minister to someone else. I just want it available. Now, let's suppose one day I'm sick and so I go see this doctor. And I described my symptoms to him, and so he says, "Well, boy, that sounds familiar." And he goes in his little office, and the door's cracked, and I hear him mumbling to himself. He says, "Yeah, I remember we studied about what you have. I think I was a sophomore in med school." And he goes over and he gets a book and he looks through it. He says, "No, maybe it was a junior in physiology." And he goes over and he looks in his book. He thought, "No, maybe it was when I was in pharmacology we studied about that." And he comes out about 30 minutes later and he said, "Mr. Barnett, I remember faintly about reading about this disease or this sickness you have, but I can't find it right now. Would you come back next week?" And I think, well, I don't know I'll be alive next week. I mean, the way I feel, but I know one thing, I'm not going to come to some dumb doctor that has to go fumbling around in his books because he doesn't know what's happening to me. And a lot of times, you have an opportunity to share a passage with a person or something, and you think, boy, you know, I think that our pastor preached on that about a month ago, and I think it was in Ephesians. Well, maybe it's in Philippians. And you know, you don't know where it is. And so you don't know how to help someone. Now, like if I were to say to you, how many of you have ever heard the story of David and Goliath? You ever heard that story? Raise your hand. And if you've been raised in church, you heard that since you were a little bitty kid. But let me ask you a question. Where is it? Where is the story of David and Goliath? Old Testament? Yay. Okay, that's good. Old Testament. Now, where in the Old Testament? First Samuel? You're getting... All right. Where in First Samuel? Well, I'm just using this as an example. See, I know where that is because one day I memorized one verse. 1 Samuel 17:37, and Saul is talking, he said, "Moreover..." Now, let me, he said, see, Saul is trying, he's going to face Goliath. And he says, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And so, see, one of the reasons David was able to go face Goliath, he had faced the lion, he had faced the bear, he had seen God deliver him. And so here was this giant, no big deal to David. Fact is, he said in verse 45, "Then said David to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied.'" And see, you can memorize one verse. Now, you know, it's kind of like, if I can borrow your little thing here. See, when you reach down to normally, like a purse or something, if I want to reach down and pick up a suitcase or something, I just reach down and get a hold of the handle. And if I can get the handle, I can lift the whole thing. I mean, that's why you brought your suitcase here, right? Big suitcase, big girl, big suitcase, little bitty handle. But you grab hold of that little bitty handle and you can lift the whole thing. And so one of the great values of Scripture memory is that you can memorize a key verse, and when I memorize a passage, I try to read the context to know before it and after it, and then memorize the passage, and then I know the whole, I can pull out the whole thing. The whole 17th chapter of 1 Kings is a story of David and Goliath. And I know where it is because one day I memorized one verse. And so it'll give you a tremendous working knowledge of the Bible. I don't know anything that will enable you to have a grasp of the entire Scripture like Scripture memory, memorizing key verses. See, like, where is the story of Jesus' interview with Nicodemus? Well, John 3, where he talked about in John 3:3, you must be born again. John 3:16 follows in that context. And so, one of the things that... Now, let me tell you some of the objections to Scripture memory. One of the big ones is, well, you take it out of context. You take it out of context. I don't memorize verses because people take them out of context. You don't have to take them out of context. Fact is, you can remember the context as a result of the verse. You don't have to take it out of context. That's one argument, and mainly from people that don't want to memorize but want to have a good spiritual reason for not doing it. Another, what are some of the other objections to Scripture memory? One, as I've already mentioned, well, I don't have a good memory. When I was in college, I was home one time and I was talking to my mom, suggesting that she might memorize some verses because she worried a lot. And so she said, well, son, I don't have a good memory. And I haven't memorized anything really since high school. Well, that wasn't true because we had moved a few times and she knew our address and a few things like that. But she said, well, I just don't have a good memory. And I said, well, Mom, sit down here and let's look at this verse. Matthew 21:22. In all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. I said, now, Mom, let's go over that. Say Matthew 21:22. Matthew 21:22. And all things, Matthew 21:22, and all things, Matthew 21:22, and all things, and Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever you shall ask. And we just take it phrase by phrase. You know, in just a few minutes, my mother could quote that verse word perfectly. Now, one of the reasons people don't memorize verses that have maybe tried it is because you never really got them in the first place. Now, my mom, in just a few minutes, could quote that verse word perfectly. But you know, when she woke up the next morning, she wouldn't even remember where it was, much less what it said. And that's why I think so many people get discouraged with Scripture memory, is because they never really get the verses in the first place, and so they don't remember them. I remember one time walking into this restaurant, and there's a kind of a bar over there, and this guy was sitting over there playing the piano. And he happened to play a religious tune, so I go over and sit down on a bench by him and think I'll talk to him. And he told me that he was in a memory association, Bible memory association, when he was a kid. And he had to memorize, I think, 10 verses every week in order to get to go to camp that summer. And so on Sunday afternoon, he would memorize his verses because later that day he had to quote them to his counselor. And he would quote them, and he memorized hundreds of verses, but he said, I don't know them today. And the reason for it is he didn't review. Now, the first place, and there are other objections to Scripture memory. One is, I don't have time. Well, I'm going to share a plan with you that you can do in odd moments. It won't take away from time that you normally are studying or doing something else. It's time that you're normally wasting, or it's time when you can do two things at once. For example, let's suppose you have to walk from your dorm to the classroom or from your car to the classroom. It doesn't take the full use of a mind of a college student to put one foot in front of the other one and walk across the campus. And I found when I was in college, each morning when I'd write up my verse and I'd go to breakfast, I'd have my quiet time, write a verse, and on the way to breakfast I could work on it. I could get to class early, I could pull it out and look at it. Walking, just at other times that people, learn to do two things at once. And I found that I could do that. So many times, like if I want to watch a football game or something, I don't have the sound on. And I can sit there and I can review some verses. If something exciting's happening, you can always push a button and hear it again. But there's times that I try to use time that normally I would waste, or where I could be doing two things at once. And so I'm going to share with you how I think you can do that. Now, here's what I do. Now, I'm going to give you a little memory course, a little Glorify the Lord that we wrote up just to help you to get started. Like 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, where therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So we're going to take that a little and make an acrostic, Glorify the Lord. So G is for glory, and I quoted that verse, and L is for love, and we'll use Matthew 22:23. So we're going to spell out Glorify the Lord. O is for obedience, R is for rejoice, I is for intercession, and so forth. So once you memorize, this is a great way to start, once you memorize that course, like if I happen to be having lunch with a layman or someone, or a college student, I want to get him memorizing verses, I can just write that down on a napkin for him and give it to him and to get him started. It's a great thing. Many of you in the summers and time, you'll be working with young people in your church, get them started memorizing verses, and this will be a little course that you can have for the rest of your life because it's in your mind. Now, when I memorize a verse, first of all, we're going to give you some verses to start with, and it's good that someone probably gives you some verses, some real key verses to memorize in the first place, so you, until you really get in the habit of doing it. And then people say, well, where do you get your verses now? I basically get them from my quiet time. Sometimes I'll get them from a sermon. The pastor will mention a verse, and I think, man, I need that. Like just recently, I happened to be reading in 2 Kings. Now also, the thing I would suggest as far as your devotional life is that you have a plan. Like I have a plan where I read through the Bible every year. I've probably done it for 35 years. We have the Bible reading calendars out on the book table. And I'd suggest that's a great thing for you to do. Like this morning, I was in Genesis 3. I read Genesis 3. I read Job 4 and 5. And I read Matthew 3. I know exactly every day where I'm going to read. Now, another tremendous advantage of that is that when I take notes, like for example, I just put where I am today, January the 3rd, and I write where I am. I happen to be in Denver. And then I just start reading. And as I read, if something really impresses me, something God is saying to me, well, then I just make notes. I also use it kind of as a journal. I don't have a journal and then a quiet time notebook. I mean, I'm an Aggie and things have to be simple. I don't want to keep up with two. And so anything that maybe happened yesterday or anything I want to thank God for, I do that. But see, another great value of that, if I ever want to see anything God's ever said to me out of, say, Job 4 and 5, I know that would have been on January the 3rd. Now, there may be some days that I start reading in my quiet time, and maybe it's all the time I have, and I don't get through all three sections. That's okay. Then the next day I'll pick it up. But then I can always look back and see, if I want to look at Luke 6, I just look, see what date I would have read Luke 6, look through my notebook, and there are my notes on that. And so it's a way, I know sometimes maybe God says something to you, you write it down, but it's in a notebook somewhere and you don't know where it is. So I found that that's very helpful. Now as I'm reading along, like, you know, a while back I was reading in 2 Kings. And I came to 2 Kings 4:10, and that just really impressed me about hospitality. And that's where Elijah would come into the area to speak. And so this Shunammite woman in 2 Kings 4:10 said to her husband one day, please let us build a little upper chamber. And let's set a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand. And it shall be when he comes to us, he can turn in there. And I thought, now here's this lady very concerned about providing for the prophet. And I thought, that's a great verse. I just want that. Well, I'm over in the next chapter. And I happen to be in verse 11. And here was this king that had a Naaman, and he had leprosy. And he was the head of this army. And the king thought a lot on Naaman. And so the little slave girl, the little Israelite girl had been taken a captive, worked in the home. So she said to her mistress, you know, there's a prophet in Israel, and if he would go to this prophet, he would cure him of his leprosy. And so he thinks, well, why not take a chance? So he goes and he finds Elijah, and he goes to him for him, Naaman did for him to cure his leprosy. And so when he goes to Elijah's house, Elijah doesn't even come out. He just said, tell him to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. He didn't even come out and speak to him. Well, in verse 11, it said, but Naaman was furious. And he said, behold, I thought he will surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. And I thought, I need that verse because I am so much like that. Behold, I thought. You know, behold, I thought God would do it this way. And I'm just like on them. Behold, I thought. And I just thought, you know, that spoke to me, and so I need that verse. And so I don't have problem finding plenty of verses to memorize. That's a great indication on my quiet time. If I'm having trouble finding verses to memorize, it's a real indication I'm not in the Word, because I find, and I try to keep a sheet of paper where I can just, here's a verse I want to memorize and jot it down. Now, let me share one other thing with you before I go into the mechanics of it. Let's suppose, like the first of this month, I have my verses in a little box, and I divide them Genesis through Revelation. Now, I didn't memorize them in any order. I may memorize one out of Psalms, next one may be out of Romans, next one might be out of Ezekiel or wherever. But once I've memorized them and gone over them every day, trying to for 2 months, then I put them in a little box, Genesis through Revelation, and I divide those into 30 sections. So this morning or last night before I go to bed, I get my little verse pack, and I put the section for today. This is day 3, and today I will review 1 Chronicles 12 through Job 42. And those will be the verses. Sometime during the day, I'll try to get through these. Now, if I don't get through with them, then tonight before I go to bed, I'll try to go through them. Now, after you miss going through them during the day and you have to stay up late to review, you learn to do them during the day. Now, let me just say this first of all. Nothing is perfect. My scripture memory is not perfect. My review is not perfect. I got some verses I don't know very well. I heard Dallas Willard say one time, it's okay to re-memorize. And sometime I'm going through a verse and I think, man, I got to work on that one some more because I haven't reviewed it as I should, so it gets away. Ever since the fall of man, nothing is perfect. You're not perfect. Girls, you're going to marry some guy, I got a clue for you. He's not going to be perfect. Nothing is perfect. So you're going to struggle with it, but I don't ever quit. I mean, I fall, and sometimes I've gone for days that I didn't review my verses, but I really try to work on it. Now, the value of this, by going Genesis through Revelation, once I put them in order, and I've reviewed them that way quite a bit, I can remember them pretty well. Now, for example, I'm going to go through Genesis with you. And I didn't practice on this for you, okay? I just started on that. So, Genesis 1, I know Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's Genesis 1:1. Now, Genesis 2:18. I memorized this in college when I was single. Found this verse, loved it. Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a help meet for him. And man, I like that, so I memorize that, you know. And then Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That's Genesis 2:24. And Genesis 2:25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Genesis 2:25. And then Genesis 5:24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Genesis 17:1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, walk before me and be blameless. And then Genesis 19:27, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And Genesis 22:1-2, and it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the mountain of which I will show you, and sacrifice him there. Now, that's Genesis 22:1-2. Now, sometimes I don't want to memorize a whole chapter. I know people that memorize books. Well, God bless you if you can do that. But if you memorize 30 chapters, you're going to have to review a chapter every day to keep them. And I'd rather memorize key passages and know what happened in between. And so, in verse 10 of that chapter, in verse 10 through 12, it said, then Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. That's Genesis 22:10-12. Then Genesis 32, 26 through 28 is the story of Jacob's wrestling with angel. And he said, let me go for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said unto him, what's your name? And he said, Jacob. He said, your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, now you have power with God and with man. That's Genesis 32, 26 through 28. Now, when I was in college, I memorized Genesis 39, 9 through 12. Now, you'll notice some of the verses that I'm quoting are out of the King James. The reason for it, that's what we used back after the earth first cooled. And that's when I was in college, okay? There was not a New American Standard. There was not an NIV. There was not a Living Bible. I mean, it didn't exist. So I used the King James. When I first came to Norman, most people were using the Revised Standard. We used that for a few years. Never did like it a whole lot. I changed to the New American Standard. That's what I use. I don't plan to change again. Now, occasionally, I'll pick up a verse out of another translation. Like, for example, Proverbs 17:10. It says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. That's what the King James says. Well, the Living Bible says, why do you keep putting your foot in your mouth? Why don't you just be sensible and turn off the flow? Well, now, you know, that's nice. But if you look in the original language, the word foot is not there. And putting your foot in your mouth, that's an American expression. And that's okay, but you wouldn't want to use that if you're speaking in Australia. They'd think, what is wrong with you, putting your foot in your mouth? Well, but I just thought, that's so graphic. I just like that, so I memorized it. So occasionally I'll pick up one out of another translation. And so, but when I was back in college, and I knew the temptation that guys face, and I was reading one day in Genesis 39, 9 through 12. It's the story of Joseph's temptation by Potiphar's wife. And when she tempted Joseph, in verse 9, he said to her, there is none greater in this house than I am. He was referring to, your husband, trust me. I am the trusted servant. There's none greater in this house than I am. Neither has he kept back anything from me, but you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And I just thought, you know, guys, one of the reasons I memorized that, one of the things, and gals, ought to keep you from temptation, and from that, the sexual temptation, is to realize it's sin against God. How then can you do this great wickedness and sin against God? And you know, the other thing that kept him from sin, he realized the blessings of God on his life. He said, I'm chief servant in this house. And you look at your life, the blessings of God on your life. You don't want to blow it. As a professor of mine said, you don't want to burn a cathedral in order to fry an egg. That's dumb, isn't it? If you need a fire to fry an egg, you don't want to go burn down a church building to get a fire to do it. And that's what happens when you do something like that. And so he said, and there's none greater in this house than I am. Neither has he kept back anything from me but you, because you're his wife. How then can I do sin against God and do this great wickedness? And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day to lie by her, that he would not lie by her. And he said, nor be with her. But it came to pass about this time that Joseph went in the house to do his business. There were none of the men of the house there within. She caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. I like that. And got him out. I mean, he didn't stay to argue with her. It's like if I'm standing here and a rattlesnake crawled out from under the chair, I don't resist him. I flee. There's some sins you resist. There's some you flee. And Joseph knew if he didn't get out of there, he's going to be in trouble. So, you remember the story? Now, I'm going to start right here, and I'm going to tell you what happened from Genesis 39 through Genesis chapter 50 by a few key verses. I didn't set out to do this. I just one day looked at it and saw that I knew the story because I memorized those verses at different times. Now, he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Now, read the context. She kept that cloak of his. When her husband came home, she said, this servant of yours tried to rape me. He was very mad at him, had him thrown in prison. But Genesis 39:23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under Joseph's hand, because the Lord was with him and the Lord made it to prosper. So now he's in jail, but he's a faithful man, and God begins to exalt him, and now he's kind of chief over the prisoners. Now, while he's in prison, there's some guys that have a dream. And two guys have this dream, and one of them dreams and has this cup of wine, he gets to place it in the king's hand or whatever. And so he says, well, what that means, in 3 days you're going to be released and you're going to become the king's cupbearer. The other one had this dream about some bread on top of his head and the birds were eating it. And he said, well, what that means is, in 3 days you're going to have your head cut off. I'm sure that wasn't good news, but so 3 days later, one of them is released and becomes the king's cupbearer. Now, Joseph says to him, when you get out, would you remember me? Now, the guy has his head cut off. And 2 years later, the king has a dream he can't interpret. And this one guy says, oh, yeah, king, I remember when I was in prison as a guy could interpret dreams. Now, see, here's Joseph still in prison 2 years later for something he didn't do. And so they brought him out, and the king told him his dreams. And he says, there's going to be, you know, these 7 fat cows, and then there's going to be 7 skinny cows, and they're going to eat the fat cows. And there's going to be 7 ears of corn, thick ears, and then there's 7 skinny ears, and they eat them. And he says, the reason you had that dream twice is because God's telling you this is going to happen immediately. You're going to have 7 years of plenty in the land, 7 years of drought. So, king, you better find somebody to put in charge to lay up this food so that you're going to have something to eat during the 7 years of drought. Now, listen to this. Genesis 41:38. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? So he made Joseph second in command. Then you remember how his brothers came? Well, first, the king gave him a wife. Over a period of time, Joseph married. He had 2 sons. You know what he named them? Genesis 41:51. He said he named the firstborn Manasseh. For he said, God has made me forget all my trouble in all my father's household. And so, I don't think that he never thought about what his brothers had done, but he wasn't bitter about it. You know, his brothers had sold him into slavery. He wasn't bitter about what Potiphar's wife had done. He said, God's made me forget all my trouble in all my father's household. And in verse 41:52, he named the second one Ephraim, for he said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my afflictions. And that's often where God will make you fruitful, in a place where it's tough. And then you remember how his brothers began to come, and Jacob, his dad, in Genesis 48:7, and a number of years ago, we had one of the guys on our staff killed in a car wreck. And I spoke at his funeral, and I was so glad I'd memorized this verse, Genesis 48:7. And it just impressed me one day to memorize it. It said, and I, Jacob, when I came from Padan, my wife Rachel died, much to my sorrow, and I buried her, and my wife died, and I buried her, and there was still some distance to go. He said, I buried her with great sorrow, but there was still some distance to go to Ephrath, that is, to Bethlehem. And I thought, you know, for his wife to say, I know now you bury him with great sorrow, but there's still some distance to go. God still has something for you to do. And there's still some distance to go for you. And she is still walking with the Lord today. And then his brothers come. And they say to him one day, you know, now that Dad died, boy, Joseph is going to mop up on us for what we did to him years ago. And so they came to him, and this is kind of a paraphrase, but here's what they say. Well, one of the last things Dad said before he died was, be good to your brothers. I mean, they just lied through their teeth. And in Genesis 50:19-20, Joseph said to his brothers, do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, But God meant it for good to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. Now, I've just told you what happened from Genesis 39 through Genesis chapter 50. I didn't memorize the verses in order. Some of those verses I memorized 30 years before I memorized the other one. But then when you go through them, you begin to see them. And, you know, if I was going through Deuteronomy 1:32 and 4:9 and 4:29 and 5:29 and 6:6 and 7. And over a period of time, now I may miss one, but see, I can drive somewhere. I can get in a car and drive somewhere instead of the Bible. I don't have to have the Bible out. I don't have to have my verses out. I can lay on my bed sometime at night and turn out the lights and think, well, I'm going to review some of the scriptures. And I wouldn't take anything in the world for that. And so many times when a student comes and he's got questions, I don't always plop a verse on him. But many times as we begin to talk, the Holy Spirit will bring a verse. And I'll go to that verse. I say, let me share something with you from the Word. And I don't know how many times in my lifetime I've had a student or others to come and say, Max, that is exactly what I needed. And see, I want to know what God thinks about many, many things. So I want to get the verses up here. I don't know when God will use them. I don't know if He'll ever use them. But I want them in my mind so that I can use them when I need to. Now, I want each one of you, if you will, take about three or four of these cards and just start some down. Take about three. And if somebody will help me get those out, if you will, just divide them up and pass them out, and what you have left, if you'll bring me back. This is a system that I use. And one of the reasons I do is because it's small. I can keep them with me. I can stand in the line at a movie or a cafeteria and see, I can hold these in my hands like this. Nobody sees what I'm doing. Now, don't go around the campus like this. You know, like I'm Spiritual Joe, I memorize my verses. But this way I can have them, I can keep them with me. Girls, you can keep them in your purse. And I would say one of the, you know, the thing about a habit is you develop something that'll really work for you and then it'll kind of take over. And so I try to always keep my verses with me so that I can pull them out and use them. I can stop at a red light sometime and review. Thank you. In review, maybe three verses. And so, it's just a way to use time to get the scriptures into your life that you don't have to sit down with an open Bible. Now, another reason for memorizing verses. Have you ever noticed, like, one guy says, well, I don't see any need to memorize. He said, I've got all kinds of translations. I can read it anytime I want to. And I thought, let me ask you a question. Have you ever noticed most of the time when you have an opportunity to witness, you're not sitting with an open Bible? You ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed most of the time when you had an opportunity to counsel a Christian friend, you're not sitting with an open Bible? Have you ever noticed that a lot of times when you have a decision to make during the day or at other times that you're not sitting with an open Bible? And so that's one of the great reasons, I think, to memorize. Now, here's what I would do. If you have a pen with you, anybody need a pen? Everybody got a pen? What I'd like you to do, right across the top, just write, glorify the Lord, and leave space, and after that put 1 Corinthians 10:31, and then whatever translation you use. If you use the NIV, put 1 Corinthians 10:31, NIV. Okay? So you'll need to write kind of small. Glorify the Lord. Just write that phrase, glorify the Lord, 1 Corinthians 10:31, NIV or whatever translation. Somebody need a pen? Anybody else, excuse me, anybody else need a pen? Okay, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever translation you use, okay? We're going to write, glorify the Lord, 1 Corinthians 10:31, NIV, NAS, KJV, or something. Now, when I quote it, I don't say, this is out of the King James, but I want to know what translation it's out of. And when I'm reviewing, I don't say the translation. I'll just say John 3:16 and say it. But I've always got it there in case I ever want to check it. Okay? Now, in the center, right in the center, at the bottom of your card, write the year 2008. It's 2008, right in the center at the bottom. Over on the left side of your card, write January 3. Just J-A-N 3. Okay? That's in the left corner. The left corner, okay? So you got January 3, 2008. Write a date that's 2 months later. That would be March 3. Now, I know not every month has the same date, but a few days one way or the other doesn't make any difference. So write March 3. Now, what that means, you're going to be reviewing, and on March the 3rd, you're going to say, hey, I know that verse real well because I've tried to review it every day for 2 months. Now, you may miss a day. One day you leave your backpack in your roommate's car, and he goes home with it, and you miss 2 days. That's okay. I mean, try not to do it, but that's why we do it for 2 months, so that we're going to get it well. Now, okay, you got that? Now, you flip on the other side, and you don't have to do that right now, but on the other side, and then you just copy the verse word perfectly right out of your Bible, whatever translation you're using. Now, here's the way I do it. Notice this. Now, look here. Flip it over. One of the reasons some people turn it around, I prefer to be a flipper, because you can, if I'm shaving or something, I can leave these verses up there, and then I can just flip them down like that. Okay? Simple thing, but just wells to do whatever's best, huh? Okay? And so then you copy the verse word perfectly. And now when you learn a verse, you say the reference in the first part of the verse and say it quickly. Like, for example, if I were doing, I wouldn't say John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I don't want those to be separated in my mind. Now, if I'm speaking, I might pause. But when you're memorizing, try to say 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink. Because a lot of you, I can start quoting a verse. Like, for example, I could say, for all have sinned, and what? Okay? But you know, a lot of you don't know where it is, see? And so, what you want to do is you want to get the address. Guys, is it like being interested in this girl, and you have real interest, but you don't have her phone number, you don't have her email, you don't know where she lives, you don't know how to contact her, right? So, you want to know how to contact these verses. You want to know where they are. So, that's why. Now, once you can say it word perfectly, say the reference before it and after it, 1 Corinthians 10:31, where therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all of the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Once you can say it word perfectly. Now, why word perfection? If you don't do it word perfectly over a period of time, you might say, well, that's okay when you know one verse. But when you know 100 verses, you don't know what God said, and you don't know what you said, and you don't know the difference. And the only way you can get deep ruts in your mind is to memorize it word perfectly. So memorize it word perfectly and review it. Once you can quote it word perfectly, say it another 45 times, another 35 times that day. Just go over and over and over it, over and over and over it. Go over it a number of times, maybe 35 times or so. Just say it again, 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 see? And then the next day, say it several times. Within about 3 days or so, you pretty well know it. But you review it every day then, at least say it once a day then for 2 months. If you will do that, you have that verse. Now, after that, you lay it aside, and you got a little stack of them over here, pick them up, and zip through them once a week. Let's suppose the day comes, then you've got 70 of these verses over here. Well, get you a little 3x5 card, make you what I do, and make a little tab up here, and I put Sunday on it. And I put 10 verses behind that. Make another little tab, and Monday, put 10 verses. So this way, you can have 70 verses. You're working on your new one, but you review 10 a day, and you get through them every once a week. The day comes, oh, you got 150 verses. Oh, how in the world will you ever get all those reviewed? We'll make you a little tab, 1 through 15, and you got 10 a day. And then on the 16th of the month, you go from 16 to 30, you go over them again. So with 150 verses, you can review 10 verses a day and get through them twice a month. The day can come, like my friend had 900, and now he reviews 30 a day. And you, a verse well memorized, you can review about 4 or 5 a minute, just to zip through them. Now, sometimes I start reviewing, or when I jog, or when I walk or something, it's a great time to take your verses, or on a treadmill, something like that. And sometimes I come to a verse I'm reviewing, and I think, man, this is so great, I just want to meditate on it, think about it. And the main reason to memorize is to get them where you can meditate on them. You can think about them. You can pray over them. For example, one day I'm reading in Joshua 9, and the children of Israel, God had told them to drive out the inhabitants of the land. I'm giving you this land. And he had said in Deuteronomy 33:55, those which you let remain of them shall be as pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side, and they will cause you trouble in the land which you live. That's Deuteronomy 33:55. God said, drive them out of the land. Well, one day, these people come and they tell Joshua and them, we're from a far country. They were lying. They were their neighbors. They said, we're from a far country. And I think the Holy Spirit alerted them, you better check this out. And they said, well, how do we know you're from a far country? And they didn't really check it out very well. These people said, well, look at their old shoes and our wineskins and old bread is right out of the oven when we left. Now it's old and musty and crusty. And Joshua 9:14 said they looked at their provision and did not ask counsel of the Lord. And I thought, ooh, Lord, I need that verse. Because sometimes I can look at circumstances and I think, yeah, it looks this way. And God says, you better ask me before you make a decision. Because, see, they looked at circumstances and were dead wrong. And the indication, I think, is it said they looked at their provision and did not ask counsel of the Lord. What do you think would have happened if they had asked counsel of the Lord? I think God would have given it to them. But they didn't. And so that's why verses, it may even be in the Old Testament or things, but they're principles that you can learn that can really help you. Now, let's suppose you wanted to memorize a verse. Let's say you wanted to do 2 a week. Okay? Now, a lot of you college students, that really wouldn't even be a challenge. I mean, you've got sharp minds. That wouldn't be a challenge. But the issue is, if I wanted to do 2 a week, then I would start on, say, write it up on Sunday, and I'd take Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to learn that verse. Wouldn't go to bed Wednesday night till you could really quote it. You'd quote it 35 times. And then you start on Thursday morning, and see, let's say that'd be 3 days later, so I'd get another card I'd put over in the corner, January the 6th. And then I'd put March the 6th. And that date, when that first date comes up of March 3rd, I set that verse aside because I know I've worked on it. And see, if you were memorizing 2 a week, you would never have but 16 new verses you're working on. Because see, it's 2 a week. They're for 8 weeks, 2 times 8 for you higher math majors, that's 16, okay? You'd never have but 16 verses. And so when that date comes up, you just put it aside. If you did 1 a week, then 7 days later, I'd put the date over here and I'd have January 3rd. The next verse would be January the 10th. You understand the system? Now, let me tell you, no system works. You got to work it, okay? But that's just one of the ways to have the organization so it doesn't sink your boat and you just know kind of what you're doing, okay? And so, now, out on the table, there are the little verse packs which you can pick up. Some of you may want to pick up the little memory pack. A number of years ago, we designed one which has three. It's on Christian growth. And there'd be 3 verses on prayer. There would be 3 verses on faith. 3 verses on Bible study. 3 on witnessing. And those are written up in different translations. You might want to start there. Eventually, you'll get the verses basically from those that mean something to you. It's easier for me to memorize a verse that means something to me than just one somebody hands me. Now, it'll take some discipline. But remember, you can do it most of the time in time that you waste. Now, sometimes, if I don't get my verses reviewed, it's time to go to bed. Well, stay up another 10, 15 minutes. It's not going to wreck your health. I mean, really, it won't wreck your health. You won't die because you... But see, try to... The way you make a habit work for you is not to break it. Now, let me tell you how to do anything. I want to tell you how to do it. Okay, here's 4 points. You can write them down. If you want to do something, God speaks to you about something, first thing you want to do, the first word is start. Okay? You want to memorize verses, start. Second thing is start now. Okay? Start now. The third thing is start enthusiastically. And then number four, make no exceptions. That's the way you build a habit. So you start now, you start enthusiastically, and I'm going to try to do it every day. Now, when you miss someday, don't go around mope and feel sorry for yourself and say, well, God, you know that's just the way I am. You know what you got when you got me. And so I'll just start over. I've started a lot of things over and over, okay? Now, any question or comment or anything now? Now, there are all kinds of different memory systems. Some of them are out there on the table. That we've developed three that have 90 verses in them, three verses on each topic. There's another set on ministering to others out there. So if you want to start with, that's fine. I would suggest you get a buddy to help you. If you could do that, if you could find someone else that wanted to memorize their verses and you give them your card, you quote it to them, a friend of mine, one of the greatest disciples I know, is John Crawford. When he meets with guys to disciple them, they'll always take the first few minutes to review verses. He'll just hand the guys verses and say, check me on my verses. And he said, that way I get through my verses. Even if a guy's not memorizing verses, you ask him to check you on his, he'll begin to do it. I remember when I worked with athletes a number of years ago, we had a fella, and one time, this guy, it took me from September to February to get him to memorize his first verse. But one night I left his room and I thought, he's finally seen the value of it. He started memorizing. He came to me sometime later and he said, you know, this young quarterback, he came to me and said, where'd you get those little cards? And he said, oh, I got them over to BSU. And he said, well, could I have some of those? And he said, let me ask you, how's your quiet time? He said, well, I have one. He said, I tell you what, when you have a quiet time 7 days in a row, I'll let you start memorizing verses. Like it's a great privilege or something. So the guy's all excited. He has a quiet time, got him memorizing verses. Well, but get someone to check you on your verses. If you're meeting with someone, just let them check you on your verses. And then they'll probably want to memorize also. Like, one of the things I do with a brand new Christian, one of the first verses I share with him is 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'll talk to that verse about him. You know, God wants your fellowship. Now, if you would memorize this verse, you could be reminded of that for the rest of your life, that God wants your fellowship. And so, okay, anything else? Dave Englehart, come add whatever you want to, or correct whatever you want to.
Yeah. Now let me tell you everything that Max said that was wrong.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to add in terms of the approach and the value. Max has been a great model for me for years and years, and an inspiration too. I really do think that sometimes attending a seminar like this can kind of get you jump-started, because you can see where those verses become very natural to you. And that's kind of what happened with me. I'll just tell you this from my experience. I've been fairly organized or consistent in my walk with God for a while. And, you know, I read through the Bible and I have an organized prayer life. I have prayer lists that I try to stay with. And, you know, I keep the basic disciplines fairly consistent. I go through cycles, to be honest with you, in my life where they're nothing to boast about. And I'm guessing that's probably true for you too. You know, there are cycles in our lives, emotional and sometimes just in terms of physical energy. And you know, but generally over the years, I've been able to stay fairly consistent in some of those things. But I'll tell you this: if I had to forfeit all of the disciplines of my life, my spiritual disciplines, except one, there wouldn't even be a debate. Putting God's Word into my heart far exceeds all of the others. I'm not saying those aren't important, because they really are. But as I've looked back over my life, God has more profoundly challenged me, in my walk and in my pursuit of holiness and building godly character, in my ability to share the gospel effectively, and all the realms that you can imagine, through scripture memory more than any other. And I think it's because it is embedded. It's there. I read the Bible. I go through scripture. I pray. I do as much of that as I possibly can. But the Lord does something amazing in my heart through scripture memory. And so I would just encourage you. I disciple guys. I work with guys one-to-one. And, you know, there's a wide range of approaches in getting them to get started, isn't there? Mm-hmm. Some will jump right on. Some of you, maybe this is the 10th seminar you've attended on scripture memory with good intentions of getting it started. Maybe it's your first. I know exactly where you're coming from. I've sat across the room with guys just like that. I would just urge you to just establish in your heart today, okay, I'm gonna get this going. I'm not going to have heroic goals. I'm just going to get started slow and small, and I'm going to just continue to build it. And God will begin to place a passion in your heart for His Word. And it's marvelous. It's absolutely astounding, sometimes unexplainable, how God works through scripture memory in your heart. So I hope that you'll start for the first time or maybe the 10th time, but that this might be the time that really lasts and gets you going. And it can really revolutionize not just your walk with God, but your influence for the kingdom. So.
Well, if a couple of old cripples can do it,
that's right.
Anybody can.
That's right.
All right. Any other any question or comment at all? Anything you'd like to ask?
I just have a fun question. About how many verses do you think you've memorized?
I really don't know. I purposefully don't know. I've got enough problem with pride without counting my verses. You know. I really don't know how many I know. I just I don't know as many as I ought to, and some of the ones that I'm supposed to know I don't real well, because I think what David has said is so important. And I tried to say that when I said we're not perfect. There have been times when I've neglected my verses. Sometimes I go through them now and I think I've lost that verse pretty well. I never use it. It never comes to my mind because I've not stayed on it and made it fresh. And sometimes I've found when I come to some of those verses, I may just keep it in my pack for another week or two, and then it'll come back. So don't get discouraged. You're going to run into problems with it. I mean, if you don't want some problems with scripture memory, just don't start, because you will run into some problems. It's same is true of anything in your Christian life. But you work at it, ask God to help you. And remember, God's not going to memorize them for you. The day could come, you could get down on your knees and pray for 6 straight days that you can memorize, review all the, you know all the verses, and God will say, well, now, when you may be weak, but when you get up, get over and sit down and begin to memorize. You cannot, in the Christian life, separate you cannot substitute one area for another area. In other words, if you're going to do scripture memory, you're going to have to work on it. Okay? And you can pray all you want to, but that's not going to memorize your verses. You're going to have to work at it. It's like the old farmer I talked about last night. He plants, he sows, he fertilizes, but he knows he can't make those seeds germinate. I know I can't make this alive in my life, and I cannot do it apart from God, but this is what he's asked me to do, so that's what I'm going to do. Okay? Now, take just a moment, and you pray and decide what you're going to do about what you've heard.